Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hala Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and my mission is to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So the beauty of this space is that I get to talk to people that have all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? And then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes from there. So I'm so grateful to have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13 years old, physics teacher, handwriting specialist, lawyer, and so many more. And by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission, most importantly, to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing this and incorporating it into your life daily, you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest today is Patricia Lambert-Gent. She is the founder of Resiliency Reframed. Her mission is to create a space to revitalize and reconnect through mind, body, and spirit. She helps high achievers prioritize themselves and create a life of balance and alignment. Through coaching, Kundalini yoga, and the Akashic Records, she has empowered clients to tap into creativity and create a life in flow. Her experience includes being a registered nurse, master's in leadership and management, and Lean Sigma Green Belt. Sorry, my eyes. I'm not wearing my glasses. Patricia, welcome to the space.
Hi, how are you today?
Patricia, can you hear me?
Oh, can you hear me? Hear me?
There we go. Now I can.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, oh no.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am so happy that you're here. Would you like to expand or add anything onto your bio at this time?
Oh, I think you did a wonderful job.
Well, you wrote it.
Well, I mean, the only thing I would just add is that, you know, my experience has really helped me, or what I believe, be able to interweave all of these practices into realistic goals that actually help us to implement the shifts and the change that we all want to create in our lives.
Yeah. I think I actually want to ask straight off before we even dive in, because I think that your background is so interesting, which is why I put like nursing, Kundalini yoga, Akashic records. Oh my. If you could just give a little bit, I know we'll dive in more in the conversation, but just about that journey would be great to hear like a snippet of the story right now.
Oh, sure. So, you know, I think in so many ways, at least the beginning of my story isn't really too exciting, because I think on so many levels, I was doing what I think so many of us do. And I was just trying to do everything right. You know, I was always a high achiever. I always worked hard in school. I always wanted to make myself better. And I was always about self-improvement. And, you know, it just over my time, and this was in high school, it continued in college. And then of course, after college, you know, I always knew I wanted to do more, never always sure what it looked like. But I basically got into this, and you could say like a habit of, you know, once I got into a space, I wanted to get certified, I wanted to get a degree, and then I was going to continue that realm of always being, you could say, one step ahead. And, you know, I guess for a very long time, you know, this is what it's what I thought I wanted. And, you know, I enjoyed my work, even though, you know, I had some anxiety and stress around it, at the core, I really believed, you know, I was doing a lot of good work. But as time went on, I kind of started to realize that there was really not much else in my life other than work. It became the center, the pinnacle of it. And the other thing I noticed is that, you know, I think like a lot of people, I was kind of like, okay, I need something else. And what can this look like? And I started pursuing and tackling that the same way I tackled the rest of my life, right? I went into the literature and I was like, what does the literature say I should do? You know, if I'm feeling burnt out and tired and stressed, and, you know, what other new things can I try and implement and do into my life? And, you know, just kind of, you know, kept looking things up and seeing, you know, what to do and trying to do things differently. And I tried all kinds of different things. You know, I actually did do some yoga on my own because my thought was, okay, you know, I need to stop doing all these high intensity workouts, right? And let's do something that's a little more in flow. And I even tried Oprah and Deepak Chopra's 21-day meditation series. And this is over like a period of time too. I worked with a positive psychology coach. I tried to decrease my work hours, thinking that, you know, if I had less time, you know, more time at home, you know, I'd be able to have time to do more things. But as I moved on, and this even included like switching jobs, thinking a different, you know, a job or a place would be helpful, thinking that, you know, I could control my schedule would change. But at the end of the day, all these things, even if I did get a little extra time, I just still didn't have a lot of energy and I didn't have the spark that I felt that I used to. I just still very much left, you know, the days and the weeks depleted. And I felt like I was just in this constant, you know, cycle. And then, you know, honestly, long of the short of it is, I really just stumbled upon Kundalini yoga. Mm-hmm. And when I stumbled upon it, it just kind of clicked. You know, the way it was explained to me was it's very much this technology, and that really does the physical postures, the mudras or the hand signals that connect to our brain, the breath work, the meditation, and even the mantras, you know, that we say and use all help elevate our frequency. And mm-hmm. when that was mentioned to me, it just made sense. And then when I did the practice, I actually felt better. So it was just this little taste that just really propelled me to start working in it more and more. And interestingly enough, I signed up for teacher training before even doing an in-person class. I know, right? And at the time I was like, who do I think I am signing up for teacher training? Mm-hmm. And at this point, like we moved, we're closer to my family. This was another like pursuit, right? Let's, you know, a different location, closer to my family. You know, I signed up for the teacher training, and the more that I was diving into this, you know, Kundalini yoga is actually called the yoga of awareness because it makes the unconscious conscious. And, as I was just going through this process, I guess more and more things came up for me that made me kind of realize like, you know what, I actually have more power than I thought. I do truly have the ability to change myself internally and therefore, almost change the relationship of that world around me and create what I would like. So, you know, the steps of that were, you know, not to go in too much depth, but the first initial thing I noticed was that my anxiety resolved. And my anxiety was something that I had my whole entire life. It was something that I really thought I just had to live with. And it manifested itself in a lot of, you know, different ways. And sometimes, you know, it was part of the workaholism, the perfectionism. At times I was in and out of adrenal fatigue. But I really thought that the anxiety was something that I was just going to have to manage. And it really, when I realized that my anxiety was gone, that was the first thing that I was like, oh my gosh, I totally stumbled onto something. Like, mm-hmm. if I can fix, you know, if this kind of changes, and now I'm becoming aware of how I've interacted, you know, and essentially self-created this environment for myself, that I truly thought was a norm because it's all I knew. That really means that we can actually shift things, right, into a more, I could say, positive direction, a more fulfilling direction.
Mm-hmm. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking there's a few things that are just like, I love that, and something that I want to ask. So when you started off, you said you wanted everything to be right, whatever that looks mm-hmm. like, you know, that quintessential quote unquote right.
Yep.
It's that perfectionism thing, that achiever thing, which, you know, I appreciate you bringing that up. It's so many people have this, right?
Oh, yes.
And it keeps us stuck in what we're doing, this whole perfectionism. Well, I can't leave that until I do this and all this kind of stuff. It's just a domino effect. But you were looking up all of these things. You were doing research. But mm-hmm. then what really worked for you was what you stumbled on, because you weren't really thinking about it so much.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, is like all the stuff I was researching about like burnout and resiliency and everything, it was also very like disempowering. A lot of the things that I was reading, it was, you know, it's like, oh, well, the one thing I remember distinctly thinking this, and this is years ago, and it said, you know, mentor somebody else, you know, so you can feel fulfillment again, right? And I remember thinking, like, I'm doing that all the time in my job. And yes, it feels good, but like, I'm still not feeling good at the end of the day. I'm still losing energy. And I think the more we really look at burnout, and this is coming out more and more, it's, you know, it's not just the exhaustion, right? When you've gotten to the state, you're now at this point where there's like a disconnection. And but it also isn't just a disconnection between you and the work, but it also could be a disconnection between, you know, you and your own purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that disconnection. And that feels like crap.
Yeah.
Disconnected from it. And it makes you feel all of those things, like you don't have energy and mm-hmm. Depression and all that kind of stuff. So before we dive in to that, this is like a really great overview and I appreciate this, but I just want to ask one more thing. Do you think that the Kundalini made sense to you at all? Because you more so made sense because you said that it has a lot to do with like brain work and that kind of thing. Do you think because of your background with being a nurse and within the, you know, the medical field, do you think that that made it hit home more because of that or not connected so much?
Actually, I do. You know, when I say I stumbled upon it, I mean, I stumbled upon an article in Mind Body Green mm-hmm. and it just said about getting to a higher frequency. And I remembered, you know, and actually I thought that the article said something about decreasing anxiety. But I actually went back and looked at the article a couple months ago, but it actually said high frequency. And funny. I looked at it and I ended up just looking the video with it. And it was done by Guru Jaquette. And she did a great job of explaining it. And it ended up being like an hour and a half video. I thought it was something that was going to be 10 or 15 minutes, but I just got sucked in. And, you know, after she talked for like 20 minutes about it, she's like, okay, let's do some yoga. And I remember sitting on my bed being like, oh, well, oh, okay, let's just do this. I think my husband walked in and saw me like kicking my legs or something like that. And he's just like, what is going on? I'm like, just go with this. I'll explain later. I mean, it was totally like unexpected. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, I mean, I was a research coordinator too for, you know, I think 4 or 5 years. So for me, I think it very much connected, right? That, you know, we're working on the glandular system, the nervous system. I was just like, okay, this is talking about how things are really all integrating. Mm-hmm. And, but at the same time, I felt like it was kind of prescriptive, you know, you can do things for days and for certain times. And I felt like it gave me a little bit of structure, right? It almost kind of gave me the structure and the information that I wanted to kind of see from research that I wasn't able to get. And then after I completed the practice and I felt better, I was just like, okay, there's something to this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. This is going to be good. So let's do the would you rather question and then we're going to dive in.
Sure.
So Patricia, would you rather lose the ability to cry or cry every day for 20 minutes randomly?
Ooh, I would. Okay. So I am not a big crier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't cry that often. So, so I think, you know, crying spontaneously every 20 minutes would be very much hard probably for me to manage and probably everyone around me too.
No. That, not every 20 minutes, but to cry every day for 20 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oof.
I don't know. That's just as bad, I think.
So no crying or every day crying for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I would. I'd rather go for the no crying.
Okay.
I'd have to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. So moving on to the first question is, how do you define creativity?
I mean, I hope you don't mind. Do you mind if I share a little story on this?
Please. My God, okay. That's what this space is about. Stories are great.
I'd have to say the way I think define creativity has vastly changed, I would say. Or not even what I defined it as or what my perception of creativity was has changed. I remember distinctly, and I think this was like my first manager job, and we're getting ready for Nurses Week. And it was a big deal in that hospital I was at. And it was very important that we did something every day. And I remember really struggling with it because I felt like I wasn't creative. Because creative in that sense was, you know, different bags, you know, gift bags that you're giving, doing a little poem, having a little game. And those just weren't ways that I was creative. Mm-hmm. So, I seeked a lot of help out from people, you know what I mean? And we still, you know, made it a good thing. But I just felt like it wasn't something that I was able to come up with myself. Mm-hmm. But I guess as time evolved, you know, my strength wasn't necessarily in making up, you know, fun social events. Like, I'm not the person you're going to call if you want to have a party. Like, that's probably not it. But if you want like a different way to do like a process, like that's, I feel like, where my creativity comes in. So, you know, I think that my definition has definitely changed because I think that really our creative potential is something that we all have within. And it doesn't really need to be viewed in the sense of something that's like an activity or something that's fun or something that's artful. And when I say artful, I mean like, you know, colorful, mm-hmm. you know, from that perspective. Mm-hmm. I think creativity is really just our ability to access our own potential and our mm-hmm. own inner strength.
Yeah, love that. I'm just writing down ability to access own potential and inner strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that story that you shared.
Because
I think it's so true in, because a lot of those situations come up in various professions. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're going to have this time and let's get creative. And it puts pressure on people where, like what you're saying, people have different strengths. And when all of a sudden you're asked to do something where you're like, this is just more stressful than anything. I think there's actually, in saying it out loud, like I was just talking about with my last guest, was about getting uncomfortable. And a lot of times people aren't comfortable, obviously, with getting uncomfortable. We like to avoid those situations because who wants to feel like really uncomfortable when a lot of times that's a space for growth. But I think like when you were just using that example, not to dwell on it too much, but it's like you dive into something and you try it and you just don't want to fail because other people are looking at you. That's what it is, I think, is people are looking at you like, and they're going to judge you. Well, if that tanked and people didn't have a good time, then you suck.
Kind of right. Thing. Exactly. And it's interesting because what you just said actually just reminded me as well is that, you know, in Kundalini yoga, and I remember this specifically because one of my clients actually referred back to it numerous times. We're going through like a very simple posture. And I said to her, I said, do not force it. If you cannot get fully in this posture, that's okay. You know, you can do this or this modification. But the goal here isn't to complete the posture. The goal actually is just for you to try the best you can because we want to keep ourselves in the state of flow. And if we constrict ourselves, which is essentially forcing yourself into that position on a physical level, mm-hmm. you're not actually creating the flow. You're creating constriction. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's essentially, I think what you were saying is that since we all have different creative potential within us, when we're forced into these situations where our creative potential maybe just doesn't lie, you know, we become very constrictive and then nervous and you're not actually able to flow like you would like to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think in a workplace, it's more pressure oriented because people mm-hmm. are really looking and judging. Whereas when I'm hanging out with friends or if I'm at home and I'm singing at the top of my lungs and I suck, like I don't care because I'm expressing myself. I'm like dancing around the house and I'm not doing it for anybody else to really see it. I'm doing it because it's just making me happy and being in that state of flow and in the moment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Completely. Yeah. And not only that too, right? It's like at work, you're sometimes told like, this is your way to be creative. Yes. I remember hearing that in like situations, like we're going to be creative now and we're going to do this board, we're going to do this. And it's like, oh, okay. Nothing like the spontaneous creativity when you're told in this, you know, defined constructive time frame.
This is creative time. No other time. Just right now.
And this is how we're going to do it.
But that's like, that's real because mm-hmm. looking at it in so many different ways, I can speak from, you know, I've done lots of different jobs and, you know, restaurants, customer service and all that. But being an art teacher for 30 years, I mean, I can't wrap my head around it because I was never that or haven't been that person, but that art teacher that's like, well, this is how you do it. And there's no other way to do it. I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense to me.
No, but it's real, right? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So could you tell me, because I'm like looking at the word as in the title, tell us about Akashic Record and what that means for people who may not know.
Yeah. I mean, that was honestly something else I stumbled upon. I would say, for lack of a better word, my year, or not even just my year, right? Because I'm probably still doing it, just at a lesser extent of throwing spaghetti at the wall and just trying different things that I never heard of before. So Akasha is actually, the word is a Sanskrit word and it means like ether. So, which another thought you could say of that, it's like a void, it's a space, right? But it's like a space of, you say void, but it could say like it's the universe. And so you could say it's the electromagnetic energy of the universe that's okay. in this particular space. And everything in there is, you know, it's memories that are there of the universe. It's, you know, you could say it's like, you know, it's you on a soul level. Mm-hmm. Essentially is what sits in that space.
Mm-hmm. So when you pull up, because I know, because I had it done with my Akashic records. So when you're doing someone's records, you're accessing that space. This was from a distance, so I didn't know that person. So I wasn't sitting with them to actually see the process, but by giving my information, which was my birthday, time that I was born, where I was born, she was able to pull all of this information. Like, how do you do that?
Well, and actually, it's interesting you say this because, people can, I think, access the records different ways. I know that I was actually taught, you could say, that you only needed the person's full legal name.
Okay.
Didn't need the birthday, or anything. And really, the access of the records is we, or at least the way I do it, is that we start with like essentially like a grounding meditation. And it's only a few minutes long. And then after the grounding meditation, I essentially just use this, we call it the pathway prayer, that connects us, you could say, or links us to the Akasha. And every reader may do it a little bit differently. I have, it's very, mine is always very question based. So it's really best to ask how, what, and why type questions. In order to get the, I would say, the most beneficial answers.
So you're doing it with the person. They're with you during the process.
Yes. They can be remote, but they are with me, and they are essentially asking me questions, and then I'm just essentially channeling the information to give them.
Wow. So all of these things, I mean, your life, do you see your life as being two different parts of you? Like you had your kind of businessy nursing for 18 years and then leading into with the Kundalini and then all of this with the coaching and all of this. Do you see them as different or do you see them still combined in some way?
I actually think I see it as it's all still evolving. But I do think that it's actually a different way that we're focusing on wellness and health.
Oh, there we go.
For me, I am, I actually do a lot of work with, Kundalini yoga, and it's essentially helping and being a modality for people who have, addictions. And when I say addictions, I don't just mean, even though, it can be utilized for, drugs and alcohol, but addiction of perfectionism, overthinking, cell phone utilization. There's a lot of, that work. And I actually also do this within a coaching space as well, because we're basically utilizing some of the different practices of Kundalini yoga to really help people integrate different modalities into their life that really does help them reconnect with themselves. And essentially, I would say, yeah, it actually reconnect with the self is actually the best word for it. I actually just got off the phone with a client, and that's essentially that is exactly what she said, is that that's what she was looking for. And because she was able to have that reconnection with herself, she became more confident. She was able to put up a lot of healthy boundaries. She actually lost 21 pounds. And, I am not a weight loss coach in any way, shape, or form. However, this was one of the things that she was, one of the goals that she had. So, I helped her set up the goals and gave her support with how to implement, those goals. But at the end of the day, the reason I think one of the big reasons she was so successful is because we did a lot of the work on the front end with, the some healthy practices, something as simple as, getting the breath work in place, and then, getting things moving, getting her to see things in a different light, and essentially making changes on the inside. So her relationship with food and her relationship with dieting, her relationship with her work, all those relationships essentially changed because her relationship with herself changed.
Oh my God, I love it. Yes. So amazing how, yeah, these are kind of like the common thread I think that goes through so many things. Because the way that you're talking about it, which I love and makes so much sense, I talk about also in connection with self, connection with others. Because when you're actually taking time to look inward and feel inward as to what makes you, what you enjoy doing, what your strengths are, what your outlets are, what your interests are, what your passions are, that when you do that, then you connect better with yourself, which then allows you to connect with others and form healthier relationships, exactly like you're saying, and, you know, making better choices. I love that when you said setting healthy boundaries.
Oh, yes. Those are huge.
So huge. Because when you are feeling that, right, when you're feeling more connected, which means you're more confident, then you can create that boundary and make choices of people in your life that are serving you and not serving you.
Oh, 100%, right? Because that boundary is actually your way of valuing yourself.
Yes.
Which is huge. And I think that the more, you know, you do this work, and even myself, you know, it's on some level, it's never ending, right? But on the other hand, unless you have an awareness, you can't make the change. So, you know, the big first hurdle is getting to the point where you start to have that awareness. You know, the client I just got off the phone with, you know, she just, well, actually it was a Zoom call, not phone, but, you know, she had all these other things kind of come up. And it's almost just like once you push the boulder, right, it keeps going downhill because, you know, you've made the momentum and more things start coming up. So it more and more comes into your awareness. And then you get to the point and then you notice all these subtle ways that you're still not honoring yourself that you never noticed before.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't mind, I can give a very simple example that I noticed myself a couple weeks ago. I mean, so I was, you know, doing meditation with a corporate client and, you know, they didn't want yoga. They only wanted meditation. Now, I am always a very big proponent of doing a couple warm-ups before we do the meditation, you know, get your body moving, get your system moving. So then it can like, you know, you have that ability to receive anything that's going to come through, and it helps you also kind of get out any of that energy so you can relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I started working with the corporate client, and, you know, everyone got on late for the very first meeting, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to have time to do these warm-ups. So I cut them out. And, you know, I finished, you know, like two minutes early, which is kind of what my goal was. And then the second class, you know, we went like right on time. And then I'm like, okay, well, they didn't really, you know, then I'm telling myself the story. I'm like, okay, so we didn't really have time to do these warm-ups. And then they really only wanted meditation, you know, so maybe they didn't want it. And then interestingly enough, we got on a phone call and we talked about it and they said they wanted to do the warm-ups. And I'm like, oh, that's great. But I realized, I'm like, this was just another way that I didn't honor myself, because I know that I think the, you know, why I believe the warm-ups are so beneficial before the meditation. But then I told myself a story that it wasn't that they really didn't want. I gave myself this construct of time as being basically an excuse of why I wasn't able to fit it in. So I actually like felt like I learned a lot from that, because it was just another way that I wasn't listening and trusting myself.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. And it's so true in how we do that, right? Because we're thinking, well, they're the client and they're paying us and this is what they're asking for. But meanwhile, you're the expert in this.
Right.
Like, you know that you're going to push them to get uncomfortable. They don't want to do this physical movement, but they're not aware to know why they need to do it to then get to the next level.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, there's lots of people that do meditations without any physical movement, you know, beforehand. But, you know, for whatever reason, I did not listen and trust myself.
I mean, but that's your way. I mean, when you were saying there are other people that do it in different ways, that's why we have vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, mint chocolate chip. It's like why we have different flavors. People do similar. I mean, Kundalini yoga, there's tons of Kundalini yoga teachers, but you have a certain style in a certain way, which is why people are going to come to you in the way that you deliver it, because they resonate with it.
Yep. Very true. Yep.
So interesting. So good conversation. Love this. Okay. So let's get to question number two. but I want to recognize and honor the people that are here live. Thank you so much for being here. Please feel free to put any questions or comments in the chat so we can see, and you can be part of the conversation. So we appreciate you taking the time. So the second question is, how do you yourself incorporate creativity into your own life?
Ooh, that's a really good question. You know, I think that when we talk about incorporating creativity in our own life, we need to first kind of go back to, I guess, what my I think the true definition of creativity is, right? Which is our own internal compass, strength, potential, right? Our creative potential. And how is that being reflected into our life? So I think for me, it's that every time I have these awarenesses, right? When I'm not fully trusting myself, mm-hmm. and you know, that little story I guess just told was a good little example of it. That's also a way that I am not incorporating my own creativity, because mm-hmm. I'm not living to that, you know, fullest potential.
Right.
So right. I think for me, incorporating it into my life, I mean, from a, you would say almost like a structural standpoint, right? It's the fact that I do believe we have to do a reset every 24 hours. So, you know, whether that reset is a full yoga and meditation practice, whether it's just, you know, a meditation, whether it's just some breath work, whether it's a connection with nature, I do believe you need to have a reset done for yourself every 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And that I think helps you kind of keep your own internal balance, but then you're also giving yourself the space to receive any information that you need to either act upon or listen to or learn from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love that. And I want to remind people of this here right now, as like we're in this space, is reset. I love that. Is like, what does your reset look like?
Yeah.
So yeah, in taking that time, like every day is a new day. So not to kind of dwell on that, on the past of, it may sound cheesy, but not to dwell on the past of yesterday, but say, okay, new day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't have to look the same. Like it can look different for everybody. You know what I mean? And I think what we forget is that we can give ourselves a little bit of, give yourself a little bit of structure, but give yourself some grace with it too. Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't have to say, I'm going to, you know, be in nature for an hour every single day or do a full practice or do this. I mean, maybe some days it's just that you do 3 minutes of breath work, mm-hmm. you know, and that's okay.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be these hours and hours of something.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, let's make them attainable.
But do you have a routine? Because there are many people, like, are you a morning person?
Okay. I do. I like to wake up in the morning. I do like to do a physical practice that includes a meditation. I do like to do that daily. But I go on and off with different, for lack of a word, different sets. So I do give myself, and sometimes it's with the work I'm doing too. Like, for example, right now, since I am doing some additional work for the addiction and, you know, behavioral patterns training, they gave us a meditation that we do for 40 days. And that's mm-hmm. part of the assignment. So I do, you know, we'll have something you could say on top of it as well. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I have it integrated. Sometimes I just choose what I want to do with my own. But yeah, I do. I have, like, I guess, say a mix of the creativity of what I like to do, mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. with the balance and the structure of the routine with it.
Mm-hmm. What other things? I know that you like to write because you just put a chapter in a multi-author book.
Yes.
So tell us about, or I mean, do you like to write, or was that just something that was an outlet for the situation that kind of presented itself, or the opportunity?
Yeah, I think writing, it's something that I can't say I love to write per se. I do journal, but I've never been like, oh, I write every single day, you know, because a lot of true writers have that passion where they're writing every day and they're doing all this journaling. And I kind of dabble, I would say. I enjoy it. I enjoy it definitely. I definitely thought it was a great outlet. But I wouldn't say that my go-to right would be let's go and write. What tends to happen is if something comes up for me, is that's when I will go write afterwards and kind of put things through. But I can't say it's like a consistent practice that I have.
Yeah, understand that. Yeah, because when I had a chance to be in a book as well, I never, I guess it's that whole thing of perceptions, that label. I never really saw myself as being a writer. And I didn't even really journal that much or anything at that time. I kind of was like, would dabble, like you said, in and out of it. But the opportunity kind of arose, and I was like, yeah, I have a story to tell. And this is. Feels like the right time to do it. And that was the medium in order to deliver it. And it felt really good. It was kind of like a new challenge, but it just flowed. It was just like, bleh. It just like came right out 3 days.
Yeah, no, completely. Like in all honesty, it wasn't difficult to write it, you know. Of course, I still did the oh, let's wait to the last minute. you know, I had my ideas out, right? But then when it came to putting it together, but yeah, I think that I have I think I just saw the opportunity and I connected with it. And you know, now that I'm definitely more into, you know, trusting myself and not being afraid to take advantage of different opportunities that I may or may not have taken before, I just went with it. I mean, I think before I probably would have been like, well, what's the benefit? And what can I get out of this? And what is this? You know, and I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, benefits for it, but this time it was definitely more of like, I don't know what's going to happen or come from it, but I have a story and let me just put it out there and see what happens.
It's the being. It's being in the moment. I keep going back to that word today. It's being in flow. It feels right, and it's the expression of that time, and it's not worrying about the how and all that other stuff. It's just the doing.
Exactly. The doing and the, you know, not just the doing and the being.
The doing and the being. And thinking of Kundalini, I mean, I've tried it honestly a few times. And when I've in this, honestly, the second time now that we've spoken, it's inspiring me to really dive in more. It's with that breath work is intense.
Yes, it's definitely not it's not easy because I think too, it's like we've been, and I'm sure other people as well, you don't realize how you've been breathing wrong your whole life. I mean, something the simple, right? The long, deep breath, just bringing your breath to your consciousness. I mean, that alone, I think, really starts changing the effects. And it does. It changes the effects on your mind. It changes the effects on your body. But you now have this awareness to your breath. And you know how we, you know, we have been, you know, breathing very shallow. We have been very breathing on a very unconscious, you know, level. And how powerful is it though that you actually now can control like your breath, right? You can actually make it deeper. You can make that more expansive. You can actually bring your the air to more areas of your body. And through even the different breath patterns, right? You can, you know, it does help resolve the stress by balancing different brain hemispheres. You know, it does help remove, you know, toxins from your lungs and from your bloodstream. So there's just so many beneficial aspects, I think, of breathing. And there's so many, you know, different breaths out there that, it's one of those simple things that becomes a challenge, and you don't realize it's a challenge until you try it.
Well, and we breathe all the time, obviously.
Yeah.
If we're not breathing, we're not alive. But But it's like you notice, it's kind of like the other recently when I was doing a workshop and with adults, and they were working on their own, and I said, remember to breathe. And this person was like, thank you for saying that, because she realized how tight she was getting. Because when people question themselves and all that kind of stuff, you realize how, you know, you grip and you tighten up and your breathing is so shallow. And then your whole body tenses up. But but when you're doing the Kundalini, it's like, I don't know if it's all necessarily like this, but like these quick breaths for periods of time and you get really lightheaded. It's like, whoa.
It sounds like you were doing Breath of Fire.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's some slower breaths that are to cool you down. There's breaths that can kind of heat you up. There's breaths with your mouth open, and it can actually really helps with your immune system. But you know, one of the rapid one-to-one breath through your nose is actually Breath of Fire. And that can make you a little lightheaded. That's one of those breaths that some people find it very easy to do. Others, it does take a while to get used to it. And you know, you got to focus on that navel center. You don't want to scrunch up your face too much. But I will tell you, I think that Breath of Fire, for me personally, I did find that difficult. And my goal was I wanted to learn how to do it because it had so many health benefits, you know, not just the fact that it really kind of helped release, you know, the toxins, but I really love the fact that it helps, you know, with stress, you know, and balancing those sides of the brain. And when I first started, that was obviously a huge part of my life, stress. it took me a while, but I eventually, you know, got to do it enough that it, you know, became simpler and easier. But what I love is that you don't have to try it forever. You know, you can just start and just do it for a minute a day.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, eventually I got myself to, you know, I was like, okay, you know, my goal was I want to do it 3 minutes a day. And I got myself up to 3 minutes, and it may not have looked pretty, but the goal was to get into a pattern and a rhythm, not necessarily to do it quickly.
Yeah. And small attainable goals.
Right. And then I think the other piece is not even just the attainable goals, but it's like, what are these goals really trying to achieve? Right. Like, is our real goal just to, you know, breathe faster or to complete this certain task?
Right.
Not really. Right. Or to get into the physical posture. No, our goal is actually for things to be more in flow. So if we're more in flow, we're not going to force ourselves into any positions. We're going to do our best to get into it and then breathe into it. And, you know, the other postures and the breath work, our goal is to get that rhythm in place, right? So you could say that the rhythm of the breath and the rhythm of the movements, you know, that we're doing in our practice is very much reflective of what we want in our lives. You know, it's just to create a rhythm and a flow.
Would you say that our breath is our life force?
Oh, completely. Completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so the word we use in Kundalini yoga, or probably yoga, is they call it prana. So the prana, you know, is our energetic life force. It's very much connected to our breath, because our breath is what really connects us to with the environment and the world around us.
Right.
So it's a huge energy exchange. And it very much does connect us, you know, the way that we're breathing. So it has these profound effects, not just with the world around us, but also us internally and physiologically.
Before, I can't believe this, we're almost at the top of the hour, which is crazy. But it goes fast, doesn't it?
I know it does. And I'm like, oh, geez.
So before we get to question three, I just kind of want to explore a little bit more. Are there other things like just that you're generally interested in, like travel, cooking,
science? Yeah.
Like, is there anything that you're like, yeah, that's really fun, or is your go-to outlet?
My other go-to outlet, I would say, is getting outside and in nature. You know, love going for hikes, love going camping. That's something we've always enjoyed doing. So I would say that's my big next go-to, is getting outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here, so we live in New Jersey, and it's like getting to be really nice weather for all that too, right?
Oh, I'm so excited. Yes, I think we're done with the little tricks that the weather's been giving us lately.
Well, I think it's crazy because next week there's like I saw on the weather app if it changes, I don't know, but like 82, like what?
Oh, I know. And what was it this week? I had to turn my space heater on because it was like 30. I'm like,
Right.
I feel like every week I was just like, I'm like, yes, we're into spring weather. And then it was like, oh, just kidding, a winter surprise. Yes, we're in spring weather. Oh, another winter surprise.
That's what happens in April, though, right? It's like an iffy month.
Yeah.
In like a lion, out like a lamb kind of thing.
Yes.
So, wonderful. So, the third question, which is obviously stuff that we've touched on, but to kind of wrap it up is, so why do you think creativity is important?
Oh gosh. Well, I think, yeah, like we said, right? Creativity is, I think, truly the way that we express ourselves and also the way we connect with ourselves. So, you know, if we have, I think, too, you know, if we're too rigid or as in if we're not able to like express that creative potential or we're, you know, forced to have it in a little construct, I think all that, you know, the more constricted you are, the less you're really able to be creative and you're able to kind of be in that flow state. So the more that we can, you know, be creative, the more we can be in that flow state, the more connected we are with ourselves. And the more connected we are with ourselves, the more we're going to be able to trust ourselves and we're going to, you know, get those thoughts, those ideas, you know, those downloads, and we're going to act on them and not just put them to the side.
Yeah, put them to the side and be like, oh, maybe another time, or maybe when I get better at that, or
Right.
maybe in a few years when the kids are older, or.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just, you know, even if I think if you just take a step towards it, right? You know, I mean, some things that, you know, we come to mind, it's like, oh, I should totally do that. Let me act on it, you know? Other things that may be a little bit bigger, I mean, you have that desire there. So, you know, maybe you don't, you know, take that massive, you know, trip that you wanted this second. But start exploring it. Start seeing what the possibilities are and just see what happens.
I'm reading with a few other people. We have a little book club and it's called Living Artfully. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, but it sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's what's real and what's great about it too is that someone who's in the group, she was in PR and like public relations and doing now she's doing some other stuff working with teaching with kids. But she, when she heard it at first, she was thinking that it was going to be like a crafty kind of thing. But then when she read the first chapter, she was like, oh my gosh, like it really is all about just living creatively in your life and what that looks like and how everybody is, you know, the whole thing of what we're saying, everybody's a creator and just how to acknowledge the moments and really bring them in to your life and be in the flow of it, like you're saying. And what just made me think of that is because you said, which inspired me, we're going to do this as a family. She said like they wanted to go to Italy, but they live in Maryland and they couldn't, this was written a while ago, but they couldn't get there. So in order to do that, to act like they were in Italy, they decided that they were going to dive into the culture at home and cook and explore all the foods of Italy and explore the wines and explore opera and art and especially now you can there's so many online tours that you can get everywhere. But she could be in Maryland but dive into the culture of Italy. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. So what we decided as a family was, because cooking is a thing in our house, that each week we're going to pick a culture and then make the food and have drink with it and just listen to music and just have fun with it.
So what I love that you mentioned here is that I recently had a one of the girls actually from the book Legacy Speaks. She does astro geography, and
Oh, Melissa.
Yes.
She's going to be here in a few weeks, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, so first of all, it was an absolutely amazing reading. But what really linked to what you just said is that, you know, she even said, you don't have to necessarily go visit these places. You can call in the energy at these places if you want to go, you know, eat the food or even watch a movie about it and get immersed in the culture or learn the language. Mm-hmm. So I just really, you know, I love that, right? Because, you know, there's different ways, right, for us to create something new in our life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to look one way.
Right. Exactly. It just opens up to be more expansive.
Yes.
Yep. So Patricia, can you please tell people, I'm going to put it in the bio of the podcast when this is put up, but please tell people how they can find you and interact with you.
Oh, sure. So you can check me out at resiliencyreframe.com. That's my website. I'm also at Resiliency Reframed on Instagram. Those are two great ways to find me. I also do have a Facebook group as well called the Bodyful Collective. So, you know, please, you know, reach out. You can definitely, you know, either send me a private message or send an email. I'd be happy to work with anyone further.
Yeah. Well, I am so grateful and so happy that you've taken this hour to be in this space, Patricia. I really, really appreciate it. It was amazing talking to you.
Oh, thank you so much. And do you mind if I add one more thing?
No, please.
So I just did want to add, because we did touch on Legacy Speaks. So the book is coming out on May 7th. So I just wanted to throw that in, and it will be available on Amazon. And if anything that I talked about resonated with anyone, please reach out. We actually are going to be doing a free Beat the Burnout Challenge in my Facebook group next week. Mm-hmm. And also in June, we've actually just started enrollment into a group program called Subtle Shifts, helping a high-achieving woman beat burnout and create a life of balance. So if any of this interests you or you think that you would be a good fit for the program, I'd be happy to talk to you more.
Wonderful. Thank you for saying all that. And again, I'm going to put all this in the bio for people. Incredible. Putting so much light and out into the world. And yes, so appreciate it, Patricia. Such good stuff.
Well, thank you so much. It was so nice talking to you today.
So you're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you so much, everybody who joined us live and listening to the replay. This space is all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing stories. And please like, follow, and share so we can spread the word and empower each other and lift each other up and get connected. And like Patricia mentioned, she is in this great multi-author book. And I recently started my own publishing house under I Am Creative called Express Yourself. And I am taking applications now for a book called Creativity Is Whatever You Want It to Be, a multi-author book. And this resonates, then please reach out. Would love to chat with you and give you all the information about it. So I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world, and look forward to connecting again real soon. So goodbye, everybody.